This is Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Fellow Fox fans, how are we doing? We've got a game on Thursday. It's great. We can talk about football again. We can talk about an actual match. Isn't that great? And there's not an Arsenal, a Spurs, a Man United, Man City, Chelsea. Nothing to do with them at all. It's a small case of Leicester versus West Bromwich Albion. Do you remember the last time we played? All the way back to the opening day of the season. Hey, this is Leicester Till I Die. You can catch us on YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. You can catch them. Please hit that sub button and give us a support. We're trying to get the numbers up. Facebook, Leicester Till I Die, the group. Twitter, at Leicester TID. Let us know your comments on this upcoming game. It's a six-pointer. We want the 3 points because we want to cement our place in the top four. West Bromwich Albion, they want the 3 points for slightly different reasons. I tell you what, whether you want points or whatever, this is something you are going to want. Barry Pierpoint's minding my own football business. You've heard me mention this. You've still got time to get 30% discount to celebrate his birthday. He was trying to tell us it was his 30th birthday, but I think it was actually his 130th. But it was Leicester City's first chief executive way back in the 90s. And if you're old enough to remember all the Pierpoint outposters, give it a read. It will change your mind about him. It really, really will. And if you're too young to remember the 1990s, I hate every single one of you that does. It's worth a read because it's about the history. Go onto his website, all the W's at mindingmyownfootballbusiness.com. You can get 30% off and he will sign it with a personal message for you, which is very decent of him. Well, I tell you what, how long are we going to be able to say this for? We've got this weekend. And I promise you, this is going to be the only time I'm going to mention the ESL. I was talking to Matt, the West Brom fan, who's joining us in a minute, about these online, where would we be in the league, you know, without the six teams that are in it. West Brom would still be one off bottom, but although that would be 13th rather than 19th, they'd be safe. If we took all the results out of the games that we played against the top six, guys, we're only second. West Ham are top. Should we let them stay? Yeah, I think we'll let him stay until the end of the season. We might do better with it. Hey, look, he's been waiting patiently. Let's get him in. Otherwise, he'll probably want to go. We're going to welcome Matt, the West Brom fan. Sorry. I know. Hey,
you know, honestly, I don't really dislike West Ham. I'm quite happy they're doing well. I think the fans deserve
it's the West bit. You know, I'm old. Yeah. You know?
And to be honest, I think I'd rather be in West Ham's position than our position, but beggars can't be choosers.
It's the first time tonight I've seen you without a smile on your face. And I've got to say, mate, and I said before, West Brom fan with a smile on the face. Well done.
Thank you. I mean, you could argue the last two games have got something to do with that, but I think yeah. sort of the motto as it goes, being an Albion fan, is if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So, you've got to keep smiling.
I did say to you before we came on live, it was like that for many, many years being a Leicester fan. You know, we got promoted out the second tier more times than any other team, along with Manchester City. What that tells you is we also got relegated from the top tier more than any other team. So, yeah, I tell you what, I know what it's like. But it's been a long time. It was like back in August, wasn't it, when we last spoke, and you were full of high hopes for the new season.
Yeah, they swiftly diminished on our behalf. But, yeah, it seems ages ago since that first game, all the way back in the summer. It just does feel a long time ago. The result wasn't great for an Albion perspective that day, but I think Leicester deserved to win that second half of that game. I think you showed the class and the difference in quality.
Good man. I'll send the money over by PayPal in a few minutes. Well, you've got us again. You've got us. It's at the King Power on Thursday. It's on BT Sport and other threads are available, I'm sure, if you search. Or if you want to listen to it, lcfc.com, BBC Radio Leicester and BBC Radio 5 Live. We're getting close to the end, and it's going to be great, whatever happens, because the last couple of games, hopefully, I don't know if you're sort of, you know, local to the ground, but we can go and watch the team again, fingers crossed.
So fingers crossed, no matter where you are in the league, what the result will be, I think it's just going to be enjoyable to be in the stadium, watch some live action. I saw at the weekend when you played Southampton in the at Wembley that there were fans there at Wembley, yes. Although I believe it was just local fans, so most Leicester supporters wouldn't have had the opportunity to go, which I suppose is a bit unfortunate, because being at Wembley for FA Cup semi-final, getting to the final, it's such a monumental achievement. Yes. It's a shame not all the loyal Leicester fans can be there.
No, I mean, in fairness, it was like key workers and that, so it I understood that. I don't like semi-finals in at Wembley anyway, because I think it takes the shine off the final, but you know, the ground's got to be paid for. There was some Leicester fans there, there was some Southampton fans there that live locally. We've got another a fan coming in. Stefan, good evening, Stefan. How are you doing? The erstwhile Aston Villa fan. Nice to see you. Brad, the mod there. Thanks for joining us, Brad. Yeah, Chelsea are expected to pull out of the ESL. I'm just seeing on the BBC website, it does look like Chelsea are pulling out, possibly. So, that's lasted 24 hours, hasn't it?
Yeah. Short and sweet. Well, not sweet.
They were showing sort of a video clip of teams that have won things since Spurs, who were in it last, won things. And like, you know, obviously we've won the Premier League, you've won promotion. Virtually 90-odd of the teams are all on this list. But hey, you know, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about this game that's coming up. First of all, it's nice to see at this time of the season that injuries are getting better for the players. I mean, you've only got Ivanovic out, haven't you, as far as I know?
Yeah, and he's played a bit part role this season, really, especially after Bilic left. So that's not the biggest miss for us. And we'll have a consistent lineup, which is probably only going to improve our chances.
Yeah. I mean, we've got still James Justin and Harvey Barnes out, which Wes Morgan, let's say he's a bit player of ourselves as well. He likes to party, but we've got Justin and Barnes out, which is still, you know, tough for us. But you know, we've had that all season, and I think most clubs have struggled with injuries. What got me was, because you know, the team that we put out, and you said you watched. Did you watch the semi final? Did you say?
Yeah.
From a neutral point of view, and I'm just detracting, because I'd love to hear what you think. I was pretty much struggling to keep my eyes open. I mean, you know, we'd put our best team out that was available. The big miss probably was Harvey Barnes, but it was a dire game, wasn't it? It must have been, from a neutral's point of view, you must have been thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, if you compare the two semi-finals between the City and Chelsea and your clash against Southampton, I do think the City-Chelsea game was a bit more open, a bit more entertaining. But some of the big games we've seen in the past, I always think Man United Liverpool often fails to live up to expectations. Yeah. It's cagey, and it's a big achievement for both Leicester and Southampton, especially to make it to the final. So probably a few nerves going around, and I'm not sure there's anything more that Rodgers could have done on behalf of your team selection. No. Same with Southampton, really.
I think it was the fact that you've got two teams there that, you know, well, we've not been in a final. We've never won a final, but Southampton, it's been years. And you could see the nerves almost, you know. It was like, it was like for Chelsea and Man City. It was like, well, you know, it's like a bus. There'll be another one along, you know.
Next season,
where for us, you could see that. But were you thinking that we've got this game coming up on Thursday? Were you kind of hoping that Southampton would beat us so that we'd be on a downer coming into the game?
I'm not too sure, really. I mean, definitely it was in my mind that it was certainly a bigger distraction, I guess is fair to have it, I'd say. Or maybe this game was the distraction, the semi-finals, the main point. I think probably from my perspective, it was more, if Leicester go through to the final, will that be on their minds in terms of not wanting to get injured, maybe? They've got, you know, players would hate to miss the final or... risk that. I'm sure it's never the case. It's all sort of, I think, football fans like to contemplate that when it's not really an issue. I think it's just looking at it as a distraction. Will players perhaps be slightly fatigued after that game, or maybe a few would pick up injuries? But I guess it could work either way. If they win, they'll look forward to the final more. But if you had lost, maybe it would have been a bit demoralising.
It would. I mean, I'm going to have to be honest with you, and no disrespect to West Brom. I mean, you know, we've played each other this season already. I know you can never sort of, this season has got to be the worst season for actually trying to predict what's going to happen, because certainly for Leicester, like I say, you can play, like we played against Man United one game, and the same team can be the one that plays against Southampton and be awful. We did get a good start to the season with yourselves. In fact, September, I thought it was August, it was September. Of course, it started later. And, you know, looking where you are in the league, and no disrespect to you, this is one of those games that we've would normally have marked down, and I'm trying to say this nicely, but there isn't any nice way of saying it. But it would be one of those games where we'd look and think, like, 3 points for us. But bloody hell, these last two games, what have you been doing?
I think Big Sam's had enough, and he's just said to the players, do what you want, I'll sit there and take the credit for it. He's clearly got something going with the team, whether he has said, you know what, we've got nothing to lose, let's just go out and have a go. I think that's probably the case. But something has clicked, and it's not like we somehow fluked. I mean, it's hard to get lucky with a 5-2 and 3-0 win. But we've played some great stuff, and we finally look like a solid Premier League team. It's taken all the way until, April, but I'll give them credit where credit's due. They have really performed well these last couple of games.
I mean, I was speaking to a Southampton fan for the preview, the opposition view show before the FA Cup semi, and he was absolutely devastated. You absolutely wiped the floor with them. And I mean, Southampton aren't any fools, you know. It wasn't something, you know, early in the season they were top of the league. But Chelsea, I mean, that's up there with the Aston Villa 7-2 win over Liverpool. I mean, I've got to say, first of all, on behalf of every single Leicester City fan out here, a huge thank you for that. Because that was like, we were losing to West Ham and you were going and doing that to Chelsea. That was, yes, mate, thank you very much. You know, you couldn't have seen that coming if you'd had it with me being a clairvoyant, could you?
No, especially once we went 1-0 down, it was, you know, here we go again. we know how this one goes, but... with a red card, you probably think Chelsea are going to have the upper hand. Yeah. But no, definitely didn't see it coming. And we mentioned there Ivanovic missing with injury. I think it was actually that injury that Ivanovic suffered that caused the sort of change in style and the change in mentality from the team, because we took him off and brought Robinson on, who's an attacker, following Thiago Silva's red card. And from that moment on, we were the better team. You know, we looked like the Champions League team, in all honesty. And I'd say even with 11 men, I think the performance we put in that day, we would have given Chelsea a really good game. So yeah, definitely didn't see it coming when went 1-0 down. But it's sort of, you know, that character as well to respond, which we haven't really seen too often this season. It's one of the things I'd criticise this team for over the majority of the campaign. But again, yeah, in that Chelsea game, they really showed quality in abundance.
It is, and it's, you know, even if you do go down, and obviously you're not down yet, that's one of those games. It's like when we beat United 5-2 and it was odds on we were going to go down. You know, that's the memory that you'll take with us, that you've beaten Chelsea, you know, the 5-2. You can hold on to that, can't you?
That's it, yeah. It's just a shame that fans weren't in the ground that day, away fans. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely one to remember. That you see, you know, people are saying arguably is that our best ever Premier League performance. I think it must be up there.
Yes. Apparently, Man City are also looking at pulling out now. Chelsea and Man City have both dropped out. I haven't seen Man City, but it's saying I never knew Chelsea pulled out of anything, to be honest with you. Or was that just John Terry and other players' wives? I don't know. Allegedly, shall we say that? Yeah, just in case my lawyers are watching, allegedly, that is what they are saying. that's completely thrown me off. I mean, I normally start with the question, how pleased or disappointed are you with your season so far? But we kind of know.
Yeah. Yeah, if we look back to the start of the campaign, I guess we were optimistic with Bilic in charge and we'd just come off promotion. Yeah, everyone's optimistic and excited for the season to begin when you just came up. But that slowly wore away. We were outplayed by numerous opposition. The lack of discipline, lack of character, fighting spirit in the squad was clear to see. The lack of fitness. We just weren't a Premier League team. Recruitment has turned out to be poor in the summer, whether that's Bilic or those above him, you know, sporting director, etc. But yeah, we just weren't a Premier League team, weren't a Premier League squad. And that ultimately paid the price of Bilic losing his job, which I hated the way they went about it. I mean, we've just drawn 1-1, if you remember, against Manchester City that evening. Right. And he was sacked straight after. And you think, why are you getting rid of him after drawing with City? And I hated the way they went about it, because it's clear they must have been doing stuff behind his back and planning to make a change. I just feel like your core principles as a football club is where you're going to earn respect and, you know, that sort of just acting the right way. It's, you know, morals. So I didn't like the way that went about. But then they brought Allardyce in and he failed to have an impact, you know, well up until sort of March, February time. That whole sort of Christmas period up until January even. We looked even worse than under Bilic. At least we were trying to have a go with Bilic. And Allardyce, you couldn't see what at all we were trying to do. We'd, again, have a man sent off or put ourselves behind the comedy of errors. I remember goal we scored against Leeds. It was just, we weren't a Premier League team, again, I'll say it. It was just appalling. There was nothing going for us and it was a really hard time to watch Albion play. January came about and it was obvious we needed reinforcements. You know, I'm sure anyone could have told you that you're in the league where you are for a reason. The players weren't good enough. And Big Sam got his list of contacts out and definitely did a job in that regard. He brought in a striker, a holding midfielder, Maitland-Niles, who's, you know, we think can play anywhere.
I think we were after him as well. We were being linked.
Yeah, that was a weird one, wasn't it? Because he wanted to play centre midfield and not right back, those sort of lines. So, we made reinforcements to the team. And credit to Big Sam or whoever makes these transfers, because they have made a massive difference. One player for Leicester fans to look out for in the game on Thursday is Yokuslu, holding midfielder. He's a class act. He's better than any player we've had in this team. And I could see him being a suitable player for a team like yourselves, maybe as in reserve for someone like Ndidi. But he really is a quality player. I don't see a weakness in his game. So that's one player for you definitely to look out for.
I'm going to say, and I was going to bring this up at the end, but seeing as sort of Big Sam sort of come up now, I mean, I always like, and no disrespect, I don't mean disrespect, because I still kind of put Leicester in this bracket, that I like to see the smaller clubs do well. And I would love to see either Fulham or yourself stay up and Newcastle go down. I like to see the big teams struggle and the little teams have the moment. As we are at the moment, you know, that's what I think. If people, you ask a lot of people, you know, who would you want to finish in the top four, Leicester or Tottenham? You know, most neutrals would probably go for Leicester. So it's that kind of relationship. And I can remember when Leicester were winning the league that we were everybody's favourite second team. Yeah. You know, everybody absolutely loved us. And then we sacked Claudio Ranieri and everybody absolutely hated us. And I'm kind of a bit like that with West Brom this season, because it was early. I've got this graphic here, and I don't know, you know, Sam Allardyce is looking like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Slaven is looking like Ragnar Lothbrok off Vikings there. I would like to meet either of them in the dark. I'm going to have to be honest with you. I think Sam's got his coat on because he's got a bung hiding in the middle there, allegedly again. But Slaven wasn't really even given a chance, was he? And when that happened, you know, most people seemed to be going like, well, I hope they go down now. He wasn't given a chance.
No, I'd totally understand that perspective because I guess he wasn't. I mean, if you take a team up and you do a good job, I think you've got a right to have a go, and perhaps you could say have a whole season or have a longer slog than he did at this season. But I think you've always got to look at it at two sides with football. It's so easy to get caught up in the emotional side. As I was saying, I didn't like the way they went about it, and the morals of the club just it didn't sit right with me. But as I was saying, as time's gone on with Allardyce bringing his signings in, and it has drastically improved, I guess you can look at it from this point of view, that we're a better team now than we were at any point in the Premier League under Bilic. And there's also a point to make out that we limped over the line, didn't we, at the end of the Championship season. We only went up due to other teams' failures. Brentford failed to win on the last game. I think Fulham played a part in that as well. So as much as Bilic was a fan favourite and he had a connection with the supporters, he's passionate, we weren't good enough. And there are so many things now that you can see we're missing. As I said, the discipline, fitness, fighting spirit, lack of structure compared to now in the team. So I think as time goes on, you can see the decision may have been a correct one. And there's even arguments to say, you know, we're looking so much better now. If they'd done it sooner, who knows? Because I know it's only been two games, and you know we could lose every game from now till the end of the season. But Allardyce has made an impact, and we are looking much better now. So there's always two sides to look at it. But as I didn't like the way Bilic was sacked, and I'm still hope he has all the best in the success in the future.
I mean that's very, very interesting, because you know, from an outside point of view, like you say, we don't obviously see the full picture. And we just see it that, you know, Slaven Bilic is this nice guy that does a bit of work on the telly if it's a World Cup or whatever. You know, Big Sam is the guy who, you know, gets into trouble when he's managing England. And like I say, I would have thought you'd gone, say, oh, you know, we should have kept Bilic. You know, we might be up. But, you know, you made a very good argument there for Sam. Thing is, if you go down, and unfortunately there's a you know, probably a better than chance of you going down than staying up, though, will Sam stay with you? That's the thing. Or will he jump ship as soon as the whistle goes on the game that takes you down?
Well, if you asked me this before these two fixtures, I think, you know, Albion fans would have been pretty much united in saying that he'll be gone at the end of the season. Will he have much interest in managing the Championship, or you know, has he really impressed? Maybe performances have been a bit better, but if he hasn't got the results, will he really have that desire to stay on? But now, after two wins, in confidence is, I wouldn't say flowing, but there's certainly a lot more there than there was previously. I think there's been quite a bit of bit of talk about Allardyce perhaps staying on for next season, and you might say, surprisingly, there's quite a bit of support for him to do so amongst the Albion fan base for next season. I think, especially as a club who aren't totally overwhelmed with their ownership, and money is never there to be thrown about with Albion. I think if we can go into next season taking some sort of form or some sort of substance from this year, or these little spell of games at the end, and continue that next year, whether that's in the Championship or who knows. I think the best chance to do so would be under Allardyce, and that would mean, of course, him staying on. And I think, you know, say if we ran a poll now, I believe, really do, I think the majority would want him to stay on. Whether he'd want to is another story. But, yeah, I'd be, you know, happy to see him there next season.
Yeah. Brad there was saying a lot of the fans love him, but he fell out with the board members when he was at West Ham. Possibly the same going on happened at West Brom.
Yeah,
Andy's so. Saying there, I heard he's on a 10 million bonus if he keeps you up. That's all right.
I mean, not sure 10 million, but we can both say pretty confidently he'll have deep pockets when if we do stay up.
That said, you know, I mean, there's a lot to be said. A la Norwich, keep your manager. A la Burnley as well. Burnley did it when they went down with Dyche. You've got to keep that continuity. You know, you can't keep. And we've been there. We went through a period where we were changing our managers every 18 months. You've got to have. And it hasn't got a bad record. You know, it has got teams out of. Although this will break his record for keeping teams up. And thank you for that if you do go down, because it will shut him up about it. But, you know, he can get a team out of the Championship. So, you know, you never know. I'm just looking at you here. I mean, you've only won 5 games all season. So before that, those recent 2, it was 3 all season. It's not been, like you say, you've got to do something, and you've got to do something now.
Yeah.
yeah.
What more to say? Yeah. For sure. I mean, the form since January has been better. I'll go to February and say since February, there's a stat that appeared on the screen during that Southampton game. And I think keeping goals out, we've actually been really good at it compared to most teams in the league. Our defence seems to finally be settled. And that's what Big Sam's probably done there. And now we're having that attacking impetus into our game, which is scoring goals. But it's those signings. Who knows if we'd brought the players in, brought January's players in in the summer, who knows where we'd be? Because as I said, they've really made a difference. You know, bringing in that experience and know-how has made the world of difference to the team. And we look solid and look stable now. So who knows if it could have been any different if they came in during the summer. But we didn't do enough up until February or up until Allardyce has got his teeth into the squad and working with them on the training ground. It wasn't good enough up until a couple of months ago.
I mean, just backing up the point you said there, your average goals conceded per match is 1.9, which, you know, you think, well, how is that good or bad? I mean, Leicester's, by comparison, is 1.2. So that's not bad. You've kept 6 clean sheets. Leicester have only kept 10. Your problem here is average goals per match. You know, like we're 1.77, you're 0.9. That's, I think, where you've been let down a lot. Because you've been creating chances. You've certainly been creating, you know, it's nearly 0.94 chances a match. We're only 1.23. You just haven't been converting them into goals.
That's it for sure. I mean, recently, prior to these 2 big wins, we were creating chances and we brought in Diagne from Galatasaray. It's a Turkish team. I wanted to say Galatasaray there, but I don't want to be incorrect. So I'll let Google answer that one. And he has offered a lot in terms of being a target man and someone to play off, although his finishing is arguably weak. But prior to his arrival, we had, again, little to nothing up front. Under Bilic, again, we looked to have a go, but nothing was too convincing. We didn't have a striker. We looked to bring in Carlan Grant from Huddersfield, and he just has failed. He's failed to have an impact. He doesn't like a Premier League player. I'd say the one quality player we have got is Pereira, creating opportunities. And I think, again, he's another player that could really step up, put a clinical finisher in front of him, then who knows. But it has been a problem, even with Diagne coming in January.
I remember you mentioning Pereira in the first show as somebody that you were going to look forward to having a good season. But go down, do you think you could keep hold of him, or do you think he would move on?
I'd love to say we keep hold of him. And I don't think he's the sort of player that's going to force his way out the club by being disrespectful and going on strike, as we've seen it happen when last time we went down. And he's known to have sort of a ruthless streak in him and not be the easiest player to manage. But I think pretty much ever since he's been at Albion. He's been a pleasure to watch and felt a connection with supporters. He's let himself down on a few occasions with diving and a few unnecessary red cards. But he's been a pleasure to watch, and as I said, he's really engaged with the supporters. So he probably will want to leave, as every player wants to play at the top level. But I wouldn't begrudge him from wanting to leave, and I wish him all the best. And in some ways, you want to see the better players who have played for your club go on and improve to bigger and better things. The same with Harvey Barnes. I would have loved him to stay till the end of the season, but the fact he's going to the Euros then. I'm not sure how his injuries are looking, but he's done so well for Leicester since coming back from Albion. Every time I see him do well, I always cheer him on because you know what it's like. It's I'm delighted to see him doing well. So the same would be said for Pereira. I'd love him to go and light up a big league.
When Barnes plays for England, you'll be sat there going, I used to watch him. You know, when he had this horrible blue and white stripy shirt on.
At least he didn't wear the barcode.
Exactly. And thank you for warming Harvey Barnes up, because since he's come back, he has been brilliant. A couple of things. Rob's saying that, and it's just come up on the BBC, Chelsea and Man City are preparing to withdraw. So it looks like that is going to collapse. I just don't think, honestly, don't think they're expecting the backlash that it's got, you know. My worry is, just to sidelight, just to go off at a sidetrack for a minute, is they will now start talking to UEFA and get more money because we're staying, so give us more money, but we'll see. Robbie's, I'm going to ask you a question here. You are currently 9 points from safety. Can you seriously get out? And I know the problem is that Newcastle have started to suddenly find a bit of form as well.
The question from Rob, I think the key point there is seriously, can we seriously get out of it? I think it would be a miracle if we did. And personally, I can be optimistic at times, but I think even if I'm trying to put my rose-tinted glasses on have a positive sort of mindset, I don't think we can get out of it. No, I think we've left ourselves with too much to do, too little, too late. As you say, can we seriously get out of it? Don't think so. If I was being extremely optimistic, if it was, do you think we have a slight chance? Of course there's a chance, whilst it's mathematically possible, who knows, because we've been on a great run. But do I seriously think we can? The answer to that would be no.
Yeah. And I mean, look at Leicester, when we did the Great Escape, we were like that. And then suddenly we'd run something like three games all season. Suddenly we won seven out of the last nine. It was like, you look at those things and it's quite nice being a Leicester fan in the fact that, we can look at these things and go, our great escape will inspire other teams. And the fact that we won the Premier League, would inspire other teams. I mean, I was watching a thing from James Corden and his American show, and he was having a real dig about the, ESL. And he's going, we won't see another Leicester if they're sat, and all this sort of thing, And we can give other teams hope, So you can never say no until it is too late.
Definitely. I mean, it's been done before, hasn't it? And if it hadn't have been, then you'd have far less hope.
Yeah. And like I said, the last two games, you just never know. And we mentioned the Chelsea result, but you just don't know what's around the corner. You need the 3 points desperately for that reason. We want the 3 points because, we're so close at the top. It's like, you can get a bit of paper between, each of the teams, we're literally there, although they have played a game more. But West Ham, thanks to you, they're only a point behind us now. Chelsea have come, back up. Liverpool were coming back up and, they got that draw. But it's very tight up there. It could be a really cagey game. My worry is who's the greatest need? We're looking over our shoulders at three or four teams that could possibly catch us. And as you said earlier, you're down there saying, what have we got to lose? Let's just go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if we talk about need, then I guess I'd be looking at Leicester and thinking, you've got it. In many ways, you've got it all to lose. in losing your place in the top four. I mean, you've got to the FA Cup final, so if you could go there and win the FA Cup, how good of a season that'd be. I mean, no one's been complaining with that. So let's say there's more pressure on Leicester for sure, because we're pretty much down everyone on the outside. I think we're relegated. I'm sure most Albion fans do. So I think who needs it more? I'd say Leicester. Although if you know what I mean, like if we didn't win, it would pretty much be a nail in the coffin, as every defeat from now to the end of the season would be.
The thing you've got to look out for is the fact that you don't know what Leicester's going to turn up this season. as Andy said there, and good afternoon, and good afternoon, good evening, Andy. I'm never any good at getting mornings, evening, afternoons right, I'll tell you. And he's saying, never stop believing, it's been a strange season. It has been a weirdest season I've ever known.
It's been a strange weekend, hasn't it?
Yeah. It has, totally, you know. And I would never have thought a team could play like we did and still make it into the final of an FA Cup. But, you know, it is a strange season. And if the Leicester that turned up against, say, Southampton or against West Ham the other week, that's the Leicester that turn up, you're going to be in with a chance.
Yeah,
if it's the Leicester that played against Man United, you're going to be blown away, and that's just the thing. And even as Leicester fans, we don't know what Leicester are going to turn out.
That's it. Yeah, I don't know. I know one person that does enjoy playing Albion. That's Jamie Vardy, so I'm sure he'll be fired up for that one.
Well, I don't know, but again, he's not on fire. It's old Iheanacho. He's taking about five seasons, but he suddenly started showing the form that you would pay 30 million
for. The money for. Yeah, fair play. Saw his first goal at West Ham, brilliant finish. And
I tell you what, I loved when we bought him. I thought brilliant, you know, him and Vardy together. It never clicked, and I've been a very strong critic of him. But suddenly, Brendan Rodgers, because of injuries, was forced to play the way he's playing with the two of them up front. Vardy's not scoring, but he's becoming a keen provider, you know, get him in your team just for his assists. You know, he's amazing, and I don't care who scores either or. But you know, at the moment, Vardy is definitely not on fire, but Iheanacho is just a god. You know,
I mean, it shows how good Jamie Vardy is in terms of flexibility. He's not only just a goal scorer, and you could say he's, you know, you've watched him for far more years than I've done. Has he adjusted his game to suit those around him, or has he gone from just an out-and-out goal scorer, someone playing on the shoulder, using his pace, to actually having that ability and know-how to play his teammates in and join play as a whole? Rosh has waved his magic wand, and from an outside perspective, I thought as good as Iheanacho looked at City when he came through there, it was a good signing when you brought him in. It just never clicked, and sometimes it doesn't. Fair play to him, and it shows character, doesn't it, from a player who might have been written off, and that's what you want to see. Clearly putting that effort in, and when it does go well for them, it's good to see. I've just got a question about the group of players that were. Were caught breaching COVID.
I'll try to avoid that.
just wondering if they'll be available for the game, or couldn't you see Rodgers playing?
They were back for the Southampton game for the FA Cup. I mean, it happened. We all have different things about how we would handle it, etc., etc. I think Brendan went down the parent line. What I like to say, the parent line, is not the go to your room and you're not having any tea. It was the I'm very disappointed in you. You've let me down. You know, they were dropped for the West Ham game. And what made it worse was that we then lost the West. Had we won the West Ham game without them, it would have been fine. But the fact that we lost, it was all their fault. But they did come back for the Southampton semi-final. Madison came on, and I think when he came on, he actually put an extra injection into us. He was having shots and not many on target. In fact, there was only one shot on target all game, and that was the goal. That kind of sums the game up. But they will be back. Choudhury, I can't see him playing, to be honest with you. He's We kept him in January because Ndidi he was injured and we didn't have a backup for Mendy. We've now got Ndidi back. Mendy's fit. Chowdhury's number three. He gets on the subs bench. It's doubtful that we'll see him between now and the end of the season. And I think he'll be gone. Perez started against Southampton. He blows hot and cold. He's been a bit like Garnacho. And he's taken a lot of criticism. And unfortunately, before that happened, he was in a nice bit of form. But against Southampton, it wasn't happening. Madison, yeah, you know, now he's fit again. You know, whether he'll start depends how, because of course he only played the last 20 minutes of the semi. So don't know whether he'll start against you.
It's a hard job to leave a player like Madison out of the team, though, isn't it?
It is. And just to sidetrack, Arsenal are now pulling out as well, apparently.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to love this. I mean, it's not only lasted 24 hours.
Sit there and watch them all backtrack from their mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I will be honest with you here. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I've had sessions with the ex-missus that lasted longer than that has. that's not something you want to think about, is it, really? But Madison, yeah, he's got to play. But like I say, it's whether he is totally fit. He wasn't fit enough to play the whole 90 minutes against Southampton. He will place, unless he's, you know, it flares up again, he will come on hopefully and play some part against Albion. It's a shame about Harvey Barnes. Just looking earlier what you did mention Harvey Barnes. He's ruled out for this game. He may be back before the end of the season. James Justin isn't. He'll probably be out all season.
Yeah, so Harvey Barnes, I've liked Justin this season. I've watched him play quite a few times and he's really impressed me.
We've been quite lucky because, you know, James Justin was bought from Luton. He was never going to have a starting berth. He was a youngster who was going into the development squad. He was going to be eased through, maybe even loaned out like Harvey Barnes. We had so many injuries at the start of the season. I mean, Christian Fuchs, he's played more games this season than he's played in the previous three together. You know, we're almost wheeling him out in a wheelchair. Christian. But these players and the youth players were having to come through, and they did a very good job for us. And Justin, it was like he's been a Premier League player.
That's the biggest compliment you can give him, for sure. Yeah. That he just slotted in and seamlessly.
Yes, he so did. And, you know, and the fact that he's our biggest loss at the moment sums it up, you know, sums how he is. So, yeah, he has been. But we have got a good development section, you know, that goes out and finds these players. We could name them, you know, a long list of players we bought, you know, good value and then sold on. But I was going to say something then, and my age has got.
I was just going to bring on to the fact that you mentioned Brendan Rodgers taking the sort of disappointed parent route. Made me think a little anecdote when we played Burnley one year, and you remember Saido Berahino. Who was a revelation of some sorts before he kicked off. It was Tony Pulis who said, almost like his words in the press conference, that he put him on the naughty step. That was classic Pulis.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you got to love Pulis. I mean, as much as you hate Pulis, you've got to love him at the same time.
Couldn't say that better myself.
Yeah, and Brendan said, like, with these players, if you find them, it's, you know, a drop in the ocean for them, a couple of weeks' wages. I mean, it's a lot of money to you and me, but to them. So the fact that he dropped them publicly, and the fact to take the wrath from, you know, the fans on social media and everything, I think was the bigger punishment, a lot of fans apparently are gathering outside grounds and fans are going mad. So, because of some games,
I think outside Chelsea, I think Petr Cech turned up pleading with them. So it's all come falling down, isn't it?
It has. As a squad, what's your youth system like? Cause, I mean, that's what I was going to say. I touched on our youth system. Luke Thomas is another one that last season, if you said Luke Thomas, I'd said who? And he's come on, he's played in Europe, he's scored in Europe, it's a season. So we've been very lucky. Of course, we've got the amazing training facilities now that Harry Maguire kindly paid for with his move. But what's your youth system like? Because, I mean, I think more and more clubs are going to have to rely on that because they've lost so much money this past year, season. They're not going to suddenly find a pot of gold again unless you're obviously Man City or somebody, you know.
Yeah. In all fairness, I'd say it's a very good youth system. We've seen players come through who you might not recognise were from West Brom. Off the top of my head, I can think of, you've got Chris Wood came through our academy, brought him over from New Zealand. We've seen players in the past that perhaps haven't gone on to fulfil the potential. So it's Berahino, Izzy Brown, Jerome Sinclair. And we've had a few come through in recent years. Rakeem Harper, Kyle Edwards, Sam Field have all gone on to have impressive starts to the careers. Maybe not in the first team at Albion, but going on loan in and impressing out. A friend of mine, Morgan Rogers, has gone on to sign for Man City, now on loan at Lincoln. Yeah. Looks to be a top prospect again, a name to remember for sure. So, and even looking at it now, our youth, our under-18s team has made the quarterfinals of the FA Youth Cup, I believe. We reached semi-finals in the 18-19 season. You know, our talent development, talent spotting has been second to none, I think. We've had a really good, solid, stable youth set up for a number of years now. Unfortunately, that's all came apart as of last season, this year. A lot of senior figures have left. I can think of Steve Hopcroft, Mark Harrison, you know, names that Albion fans recognise. Restructuring the academy, whether that's right or wrong, you know, the buildings have been separated in terms of youth team and senior players. That's all, you know, opinion, what you think's right or not. But in years gone by, I think we've got evidence of the youth team producing good prospects. And it's not all about them going on to play for Albion, as ideal as it is. If you can make money off them, or, you know, they've gone on to good careers, it's about that as well, isn't it? But if we're looking to rely on it, as you said, like Luke Thomas or Chowdhury at Leicester, I think we've on sort of, I don't want to say fortunate, because it's the great work of the academy staff, isn't it? But we'd be in a decent position.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask two questions now, just to end on. Mourinho was sacked by Spurs. Again, there's a lot of rumours about, you know, did he walk? Was he pushed? Was it because of this ESL? And if he walked because of this ESL, he's going to look a bit silly now, isn't he? But, you know, obviously, without, you know, the ink wasn't even dry on his, you know, on his goodbye card, and Brendan was being linked with a move to Tottenham. Could you see Brendan going to Tottenham?
I could see him going to Tottenham, because he's a high quality manager, and I think he'd deserve the job. Whether he'd want to go is another question. I mean, we can all look at it from your perspective as a Leicester fan, and we can look at it as, you know, look at Brendan Rodgers' perspective, or Daniel Levy's perspective, a Tottenham fan's perspective. But look at Tottenham now. The training ground, we saw on that Amazon documentary how good the facilities are, and that new stadium, from looking at it on the TV, looks superb. It's just a shame haven't been able to go this season. Looks top notch, and, you know, working with the likes of Harry Kane, Heung-Min Son, it's going to be hard to turn down. But at the same time, we've seen instability within Tottenham in the last couple of seasons. There's news coming out of the camp that the players weren't exactly on Mourinho's side. Would it be risky if you don't get on board with those players? Could you risk alienating them? It's a tricky one, because Brendan has built such a it's a dynasty at Leicester, or a force. It just seems like the club has, since he joined, has just pretty much been like that, on an upwards curve for the majority. And even when the likes of Vardy do move on, I don't think there's anyone better to have in charge. I'm not sure you'd want to swap him with any manager right now. That would be a realistic target. So I could see him going to Spurs. I mean, if you were a manager, despite, you know, say, of a club of Leicester's level, if you're a manager of West Ham, could you turn down Spurs? It would be difficult. Brendan's built such a good team at Leicester. It would be difficult. You wouldn't snap your hand off and say yes for sure. But if I'm being honest, then, you know, he could go, but it's such a difficult thing you'll have to weigh up in yourself. I'm sure it was leaving Celtic. Because he's a Celtic fan, isn't he? But he saw the bigger project at Leicester.
In the back of our minds, unfortunately, you know. Why would he want to go there? Why would he want to go there? But hang on, look at the way he left Celtic. But,
and I'm sure he has a great affection with Leicester and everything he's done there so far. And it shows no signs of stopping, doesn't it? It's not like you've reached your peak and stopped playing well. But it's Tottenham Hotspur. Look at that ground. Yeah. Look at those players. Who knows? But I could see him. And I think he'd be a good appointment for Tottenham, I'll say that. Yeah.
I started out liking what you were saying. I didn't want to like what you were saying at the end. But last question, and then I'm gonna let you go because it's score prediction time. And it always comes around, doesn't it? And I don't know whether we're doing this at the start of the season, but we do a prediction league on the website, lessuntilidie.com, as you can see there, with the three ex-players and myself. And I don't like to brag, but you know, I am 6 points ahead at the top. But I just thought I'd throw that in. But this is what we've gone for. And these names probably will mean nothing to you at all. But Steve Walsh. Yeah. And Steve Linex, he should really sort of stick out for you. But he's an ex-baggy. He lives around the corner. He was born in West Brom and came to you after he left us. But you were probably weren't even a thought in your dad's mind at the time. But Steve Walsh has gone 3-0 to us. Steve Linex, I think he was a bit torn with his loyalties there. 1-1. Yeah. Ian Marshall 2-0. I've gone 3-0 because I think we are due to bounce back and we are due for one of the good games to come along. So unfortunately, I think you are going to get maybe be on the bad end of the wrong result for you anyway. But you know what do you think it's going to be?
Well, often when I'm asked by opposition fans what I believe the score will be, I do tend to side with them on many occasions, whether that's just coincidence or is it a bit of a brown nosing, who knows? But thinking about it, I can't ignore our good form and how we've looked much better in recent times. But again, coming up against a team like Leicester, it's a difficult one. I did think we'd get a win against Southampton. I was quite optimistic ahead of that game. But it's a different challenge, and I'll go with 2-1 to Leicester because I can see us competing to the very end, although the quality is there, and as it was at the start of the season, there's just a gap. And whilst Southampton are a decent team, they're nothing. Look at the table, and Chelsea were down to 10 men. And just think, Leicester. Yeah, I'll go 2-1 Leicester.
You're Leicester, and just Brad's agreed with me. Well, you're a witness to this. You're a witness to Brad agreed. No, I'm not agreeing with him. He's agreeing with me. 3-0 to the Foxes. You're a witness to that. And the Brighton fans are just out warming up at Chelsea, and they've all got the T-shirts on. Football is for the fans. So I think all the players feel safe to come out now and say it, you know. Not that. I really, like I say, I have nothing against West Brom other than Sam Allardyce.
We're just not very good.
I never said that. And I would love to see you stay up. But I do hope it doesn't start tomorrow on Thursday. So good luck for the rest of the season.
One last thing, thinking about it, when you stayed up at the before the Premier League title win, so your great escape, you beat us at our place, didn't you? 3-2.
We did, and it was a bit of a funny game because that was the Jeff Astle Memorial game.
Yeah, really good occasion, apart from the result, obviously. So you spoiled that, so maybe it's time for revenge.
Sorry, mate. Our need was great. I mean, that's funny how things turn around, isn't
it? Exactly, yeah. Look at it. If you asked us then, I wonder what we would have made of this whole situation now.
I know. Things just change around totally, you know. Exactly. But anyway, mate, as I say, after Thursday, so Friday onwards, all the best. Thanks so much for coming on. I'll keep you know if you do go down, maybe we'll have a chat in a couple of seasons when you come back.
Yeah, we'll see you in the cup.
In the cup. Oh, yeah, we'll get you in the cup. But as holders, hopefully. Right, mate.
We'll probably be paying your under-21s in 3 or 4 years' time.
Probably. Hey, stay safe. Thanks so much. It's been great having you on. It's always a pleasure. Thanks very much, mate. You take care of yourself. Thanks a lot. Bye bye. Thanks to Matt there, the West Brom fan. Always great to have him on. very honest and says basically says it as it is, you know. Can't predict against West Brom, but we're just rubbish, you know. You got to admire his his honesty there. Well, what a show. I mean, taking the fact that we are back to football, it looks like the ESL is collapsing around their own proverbial feet. Don't some people look stupid? Don't we feel sorry for them? No. it's going to be an interesting week. But when you've got two of the clubs pulling out and a third one thinking about it, anyway, what we bothered, we're on about the Premier League. We're on about Leicester Till I Die. You can catch us, if you want to, on YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. As Brad says, please, please, please hit that subscribe button. If you want to listen to us on catch up on podcast, we are on Anchor FM, Google, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, Spotify, and Podcast Addict, to name but two. And sorry, slightly distracted there. Apparently, Ed Woodward has resigned. So something good's come out of this. I think that's what Man United fans will be saying. Guys, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Yes, we are. You've got me again. I think you've got me every night this week. Hey, more often than your missus. I know. 7 o'clock tomorrow. I'm with the wise old sage, Craig. Hopefully Steve Lynx. And we'll be doing a preview of the game. It'll be the match preview show. Stay safe, guys. See you tomorrow at 7. Hello, thanks for watching.
Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now.